Conan O'Brien needs a fan. Want to talk to Conan? Visit teamcoco.com/callconan. Okay, let's get started.
Hi, Michael J. Welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan.
Hey, Michael J., how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Where are you in the world right now, Michael J.?
I am in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina.
Ah, famous spot where the Wright brothers' first plane took flight, right, Kitty Hawk?
Well, you know, I hate to start our interview off with a correction, Conan, but the history books tell us that the Wright brothers flew in Kitty Hawk. They actually flew in Kill Devil Hills, which is just south of Kitty Hawk.
Oh.
And the reason that Kitty Hawk gets the notoriety is that there's no telegraph office in Kill Devil Hills. So when after they flew, they had to go up to Kitty Hawk, send the telegram. And then I think it's a PR thing because Kitty Hawk sounds much more aeronautical than Kill Devil Hills.
Okay, let me tell you something, Michael J. You are dead to me now.
Oh,
you know, because I like this guy.
You corrected me on American history. I'm humiliated.
Look, and if I have to flame out that way, I'm okay with it.
No, that's fair. You seem to really know your stuff, and now I know something. And you're right.
No,
I do know that the captions of the plane, of the photograph of the plane flying, say Kill Devil Hill. So, yes, you are correct.
You just upped me on that. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Well, I panicked and I just tried to make, I don't think I've ever seen a photo that said
he
that.
He made it up.
I made it
up. You know what? I think after you said it, it's written in and it's now, I mean, that's gospel.
You know what, Michael J., you went in 30 seconds from being dead to me to being my best friend ever. Because you paid me that compliment of saying that anything I say is gospel. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Michael J. I like you. You've got great energy. I'm clicking with you right away. What do you do? What's your profession?
Well, I'm a retired clown, circus clown. I am
me
currently...
too.
Yeah.
No wonder.
Although I'm having trouble retiring, but no, I'm with you, man. I feel the same. I feel your pain. So you've been a circus clown for how long?
For 20 years now.
Wow.
So started in 2004. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And were you trained? Did you go to clown college? Did you, you know, what was your background? How did you get into clowning?
I didn't. And I'm going to correct you again, Conan. There's no such thing as clown college, like a sort of academic institution. Clown college that most people know of is really the Ringling Brothers training camp. It's like,
but wasn't it called? I'm going to correct
it was
you.
No, you're correct. It's called the Clown College. But,
yeah.
You know, people
I'm totally fine with him correcting you.
Michael J., that's fine to correct me, but it turns out you just said I was correct. I was dating a girl once in another lifetime, long time ago.
Yes.
This is weeks ago. No, I'm kidding.
many,
many years ago, I was dating this woman. And after we dated, she was working at the time as in a sports bar, and she was waiting tables. And we dated a little bit in Chicago. Then afterwards, she said, I'm off. And I said, where are you going? And she said, I'm off to clown college. And she had never mentioned anything about that. And then I told some of the other writers at SNL, and they started making lots of jokes about, you know, before you went to bed with her, would you take off your really long shoes? Did she sometimes have to sweep up the spotlight around the apartment? So it was a mistake to mention that to a bunch of SNL writers. Anyway,
well, the best thing is to imagine the noises that might come out of a room are the
highly erotic.
Guess what?
Right.
You just aroused me. I'm going to say, well, hey, come on.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, wait a minute.
I'm sorry. The idea of a clown doing it and making that noise, I think, is one of my kinks. I want to tell you something, Michael J. You seem like you have a great sense of humor. You'd be good at clowning. Oh. What kind of clown were you? What was your persona?
So I like to practice something I call benevolent clowning. So a lot of clowns are kind of like real mischievous and like are gonna, you know, like stick it to you and, you know, and
Pennywise.
Stick
it to you.
Yeah. Pennywise, not a nice clown.
Malicious clown. Yeah.
I tend to be sort of a clown sort of from the heart. I like to find the idiocy in a moment and sort of live in that. We sit in the muck is a thing that clowns say a lot.
Yes,
so
I ascribe to that philosophy, which is there are, there are different comedic schools. Some comedians like to, I am the teller of truth. I'm above you telling you about the world.
Right.
I like to be in the mud or the muck, as you guys call it.
Yeah.
I like mostly the joke to be on me, but but also sometimes I like it to be about Matt Gourley and Sonam Obsession. So I like to, I feel like I'm pulling them down into the mud with me and rubbing muck all over them. That's my philosophy.
I remember who said it. I think it might have been Buster Keaton who said the audience loves a slow thinker.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to be a slow thinker that has just a big heart.
Yeah.
You know, because I look like, and for, you know, people listening, they won't be able to see me, but I look like if a panda bear and a human being merged into one. Yeah. And like we got in a fly teleportation pod accident. I'm like a panda. So that's sort of the clowning that I sort of, I lead with that.
I like your philosophy. I think it's very sweet. And so
thanks.
You've been a clown for a long time and, and it sounds like you've been successful entertaining people. Is that pretty much the plan going forward or is there something else you're working on?
You know, that's interesting. A lot of beautiful boxes have been checked in my life, and I feel very extraordinarily lucky to have, you know, led the path that I have. And so I'm not sure, I'm really on the lookout for something, whatever is next. And so recently I became a certified death doula.
Whoa.
And,
a death doula. Kind
of, yeah. Are you familiar with that?
Well, I'm conjuring what I think it might be, and I may have been around it. These are people that when someone's passing, when they're, or is a death doula there for the person who's dying or for the people who are grieving?
Both.
Okay.
The easiest way to describe it is, whereas a birth doula, so like midwives and birth doulas.
Yep.
Whereas a birth doula helps in the labor of birth.
Right.
A death doula helps in the labor of death because there is a sequence of events that happens that, you know, for a person who's in the process of death and dying, and it's you know, it's something where you can help them in their journey. You can help the families in their journey. You know, you're there to help educate, you're to help.
I have no idea how somebody prepares for that or how you can learn about that. I was around someone, and it's not a tragic story. It was someone who was very, very old, who was passing on. And I mean, I think close to 100, if not 100. And they were passing on. It was the first time I had been around a death doula. And I was really impressed with the explanations they were giving about what's happening and that this is a very natural process. Obviously, sometimes it's not a natural, someone's, you know, a bank safe falls on them. That's not a natural process.
But it's funny.
Yeah, it's funny when it, you know, it happens.
The safe is made of natural materials.
Exactly, yeah.
True.
But in this scenario, I don't know, it blew my mind that this person was so helpful. And and just understood that this is what's happening. And as you know, we have a culture that isolates us from death. We scrub it clean. We don't. People used to die all the time, and they would have the person in the casket in the house for 3 days. You know, before they buried them, you were present. Now it's all been taken care of, and sanitized.
You're correct again, Conan, right on the spot, because it's something that we've gotten as a society. We've been very separated from funeral rites.
Mm-hmm.
We don't prepare the body anymore. We don't, you know, put them in a casket. We're not close to them. Basically, once our loved one dies, they, you know, get handed off, and then we, you know, they come back to us, you know, either in an urn or in a casket, and then, you know, we put them in the ground. It's something, I think one of the biggest jobs of a death doula is just to get death back in the conversation.
Right.
I think as a society, we tend to keep it at arm's length. We don't even want to say the word death. In fact, that's a debate among death doulas is, should we be called death doulas or end of life doulas? Mm. And I think that's exactly the point, is that we need to take the power away from, or the stigma attached to the word death.
Right.
You know, we need
it's
to
like they're contorting the words to say, I'm a life not anymore doula.
Right.
Wait, you're what? I'm a good times life over now counselor.
Yeah.
Which is just so
strange. Life the endy guy.
Life the, not, that's too harsh.
Okay.
That's too
I
harsh.
I like it. You're hired. I've got some bad news.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Wow. My breath count is running out, person helper.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Heart
ending.
I very much am concerned. I want to do whatever's best for the people around me when my time comes. And yeah. I think that
what
might,
about when the time before your time comes?
No, fuck that. Screw all of you. What I want, Michael J., is I want some sort of in a Weekend at Bernie's kind of way.
Oh.
I want my body to be around for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I want to be brought to parties and stuff so that people really get the idea that like he's gone and it eases the transition for everyone else. And I get to party. I get to party.
No, you're dead.
Well, still I get to like, you know.
Yeah. Put the sunglasses on.
What is Sona and I have to take you to bars
I'm
around
cool with
Larchmont.
That.
I forget. Weekend at Bernie's was his glasses on kind of sideways.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then
yep.
The thing about that, and I know that we were talking about a very serious topic, Michael J., but I've taken us to Weekend at Bernie's.
Yes.
And you're a death expert. Well, and I think I want to get your opinion. The mistake they made in that movie is that when people die, they don't become floppy gummies.
Right.
And this
right.
guy's dead That's for days. Mistake. And he's just this floppy dummy so that the comedy yeah. works. When in reality, right. they should do a remake of Weekend at Bernie's where the mm-hmm. body decomposes in the natural way,
and
but they try the same gags.
Rigor mortis right, and everything?
Right,
yes.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, when does it get stinky?
Yeah. Well, let's not get into that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't want to depress Michael J. My body will become very odorous very quickly.
Oh, come on.
Because I plan to die eating a massive amount of onions and chili.
Oh. Thinking about after you die, how I would want you to just still be here so we could still get paid
right.
for doing this podcast. But
well,
then,
that's the Weekend at Bernie's
yes.
plot, which is
yeah.
And then you keep doing a Conan voice and jostling me.
Well, no,
yeah.
I'll take all the past footage just and just start
like,
playing it.
Hey, yeah. hey, Conan, how was your weekend?
Oh gosh. Nevertheless, I'm Conan O'Brien.
Nevertheless, I'm Conan O'Brien.
Look, that's part of the comedy. Is it can't be perfect.
Well, bingo. Nevertheless,
there's another one. Bingo. I'm Conan O'Brien. Hello, I'm Conan O'Brien. I keep giving, and everyone's taking, and
I do all the work around.
Here's
I'm the Pharaoh,
Chilchums.
And you guys, you know, work. I'm the sun. Yeah. I lost it.
Look, he's dead.
He's dead.
What happened to him?
There we go. Oh. This is embarrassing, but my headset cord got tangled around my chair with little wheels. And as I was talking to you, it was pulling my headset off and I was getting pulled lower and lower and I didn't know it was wrong.
This is how you die.
And I was a near-death experience.
Yeah.
How about a near-death doula? Someone who can talk me through
yeah.
the stages of near-death? Because I think I almost bought it right there, Michael J.
Well, it could be someone who comes and like scares you almost to death, like and gives you different scenarios where, you know, you could almost die. I think that's a...
Now, Michael J.,
oh,
do you ever find, and maybe you haven't done it for that long, but and this, I know this is a very serious topic, but will you ever use your clowning skills as a death doula? Would they ever come out?
Oh,
where maybe people are really sad and you're like, oh, come on, everybody, don't be too sad.
Oh, God. Well, maybe if it's a family of clowns.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's right. 75 of them step out of one hearse.
I mean, look, that's going to be, you know, when that happens, I'll have won. Like, you know, if I,
yeah. I'm a big believer that
the worlds collide.
Yeah. Humor, we need humor constantly.
Sure.
And my reaction to death a lot is just go with jokes right away to the grieving family members, often at the accident scene, just to try and ease the pain.
Okay.
You're the first responder, sometimes even before the ambulance.
Yeah, and they'll say this guy could easily be saved.
Yeah.
If you just do some simple CPR, and I'm like, CPR, what's that stand for anyway? Cookies, pralines, and rutabagas? Is that what it stands for?
What?
I mean, what's going on here?
Oh, he is. It's Weekend at Conan's. He is dead.
Are you dead now?
I am dead.
What happened?
I don't know. I don't know what's wrong, Michael J. You've taken us through.
To go down the weekend at Conan's street, two things. One is I feel like modern technology has to be able to give us a way to keep the bodies loose for at least a few months after death.
And
right?
it has to be able to wear a Caribbean shirt.
Yeah.
Right. And have like a group of like Bunraku puppeteers, like three or four come in, like, you know, operate you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Second thing is, my hope is that somehow modern technology and science gives us the ability to do what they did in Weekend at Bernie's 2, which is there was the sort of voodoo.
That's right.
Do you remember this?
Well, I never watched it. The minute I heard there was a Weekend at Bernie's 2, I tried to shoot myself.
But to make part three.
Someone wrestled the gun away from me and I was saved. But you stood in line. You stood in line for a ticket and to see Weekend at Bernie's 2. Did you? Is that true, Michael J? You did.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Did you see Mannequin 2 on the move?
No, I did not know there was.
Why are you bringing Mannequin into it?
It just seems like a
similar idea.
Yeah, sister.
Was there a Mannequin too?
Yeah.
Same people in it?
I think it's just, not the main guy. I think it was just the guy who's the, like, is it?
Wow, you're all over this one.
Well, I didn't expect to be grilled, Senator.
Well, excuse me. Then why did you introduce Mannequin 2 if you did not have the facts at your fingertips? This committee finds you guilty.
I accept.
I just can't believe the first Weekend at Bernie's is still something. Like, he had sex with a woman.
Wait, the dead guy?
Do you guys remember?
No, we
didn't. Yeah, the mob boss's wife or girlfriend. You remember this, Eduardo. Goes upstairs and then they just hear like squealing. And they're looking at each other like, is she going to realize he's dead? He's dead. Wait. And she had sex with him.
So necrophilia is a plot point. I want can the listeners please tell me if this is true? Does a woman have sex with a dead body in Weekend at Bernie's, which is a comedy?
Consult Google.
I can confirm that.
She does.
Yeah, if you were there for number two. Then
that was in one. I think that was in one. The sex happened in one.
The sex happened in the first one.
Love that we got you off of your noble death doula profession into the muck. Talk about the muck. We are in the swamp of idiocy right now. All right, Eduardo, what do you got to say?
You told me ahead of time.
Yeah, there's a parents guide. There's a sex and nudity parents guide for Weekend at Bernie's because of the sex scene with his corpse.
Yes.
Wow. So it's necrophilia for her, but not for him.
Well, he's dead.
Well, I know.
It's nothing
dead
for him.
It's like vitophilia. It's sex with a live person.
Yeah.
Right. Oh. But he is senseless, insensate. He has moved on.
Senator, you're out of order.
Okay. I don't know what happened here, but boy, did they used to make. What happened to the good old movies?
I know.
Back in the 80s, they knew how to make them.
Remember any water skis, too?
Yeah.
And he keeps hitting the buoys on the head, remember?
Yeah.
Classic movie.
And at no point does his corpse start to swell or burble. At no point are there various emanations.
Oh, I think there are.
Water skiing and he got waterlogged. He never swelled.
Okay.
I don't understand.
Michael J.
I'm sorry, Michael J.
Can I just say?
What have we done?
I'm not sure if you know how much I love this movie.
What happens in the second one?
I think we do.
This is what we're going to talk about.
In the second one, and we'll get back to how you.
No, we won't.
How you comfort the dead and dying. We'll get back to that.
We're out of time.
But Weekend at Bernie's. No. We're making time for this. Weekend at Bernie's 2, does it take place like a day later?
It's, I think it happens over the course of about a week,
right?
Like, you know,
and then voodoo allows him, the corpse, to be reanimated.
That happens much later, I think. I'm not sure what the time frame between Weekend at Bernie's 1 and 2 is, but.
Well, why did you call in to this show if you don't have the correct information on Weekend at Bernie's 1 versus Weekend at
Eduardo,
Bernie's 2?
Can you give us the plot synopsis of Weekend at Bernie's 2?
Yeah, plot synopsis.
It's a long plot.
That's okay. We've got time. I hope no one's dying in the next room, Michael J. Help me, I'm scared. Shut up. I'm on with Conan. We're talking about Weekend at Bernie's 2.
It's a sequel.
Please help me.
Terrible movie.
Please.
Good movie.
I didn't see it.
I'll give you the short one. After witnessing the murder of their corrupt boss, Bernie Lomax, Larry Wilson, and Richard Parker are blamed for Bernie's embezzlement and fired. Desperate to find the stolen $2 million and clear their names, the pair learns the fortune was hidden in the Virgin Islands and travels there in pursuit. Meanwhile, Bernie's corpse is partially revived in a voodoo ceremony by gangsters also looking for the money.
Well,
it's good we know
that.
The
walk that Bernie does when he's revived is hilarious.
I remember
like
that.
He sort of comes up and then he kind of just squats and does this like sort of half. It's hard to describe, but you just got to watch it. And the smirk on his face is still there. And he just walks and he's animated. So he doesn't have to have operators, you know, operating him this time, like in one.
Yeah.
Yeah. He walks around.
Okay. Well, Michael J., you have completely disqualified yourself. As
I don't know. As, you're hired.
And
I mean, if I'm on my deathbed and Michael J. is distracting me with Weekend at Bernie's 2, that's mission accomplished, I think.
Yeah. You know, I do think you should talk about this with the next person who's moving on to the next plane. Maybe Absolutely. This would be a great topic. Or maybe you screen it. Screen it for them, one and yeah. two.
You don't realize this is not a podcast episode. He's on as your death doula right now.
Oh, right. Good a time as any is right now.
Yeah.
All I want is a bottle of good Pinot Noir and a good pizza margarita, which is right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to watch The Godfather 1 and 2. Then I want to watch Weekend at Bernie's 1 and 2.
There it is.
Then I want someone to find a cure for whatever I have, but still drink all the wine and eat the pizza.
And then we're going to Weekend at Bernie's you.
Yeah.
No, I'm cured because of the cure they found.
Oh, no, you're dead. You died.
You're dead.
Yeah.
You
no, died. Never.
You're dead.
Can't happen.
Never?
Too slow, big a star.
No, slow, soon. Painful.
Too big a star. Yes. America won't stand for it. They'll revive me using voodoo. Michael J.
Yes.
Do you have a question for me before I go?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of my professional career has been as a clown.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you are, if not, you know, clown, then certainly clown adjacent. But have you ever forayed, you know, feet first all the way in to clowning? And if you have, or if you are interested in doing that, what would your clown name be and what kind of clown would you be?
Are you clown curious?
I am clown curious.
Yes.
I am not only clown adjacent, I'm clown curious. Yeah. I've often thought that I am a clown in that is my natural state. Yes. My favorite audience is kids. I love to make kids laugh. And to me, that's the true test if you're a clown or not, is can you make kids laugh? And I work real, I mean, if I had trouble with Sona's twins, because they are tough kids who come from a tough, broken home.
They're really, they laugh at everything else.
But anyway, I got them eventually.
All they do is laugh.
I think I would not overdo it on the makeup. I don't think I need to. I think I'm clownish already. I think I would slightly exaggerate what I have. And I think I'd be more of like the Chaplin Keaton School of Clown. I think I would wear, and I think I would do a lot of physical comedy, which at my age is very dangerous. And would quickly lead to my death. I think my name would just be Conan because, you know, that's the best. That is my clown name when you think about it.
A great clown name.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this and I was trying to think of something that is, you know, like long and skinny and red.
Oh, Jesus.
Kind of like you.
Oh, okay.
And I thought of Twizzlers.
Twizzler.
Twizzles. The clown.
Twizzles is not bad. Twizzles the clown. Or also,
because I feel like Coco would be like, that's a pitch down the middle of the plate, right?
Yeah.
That's, I
mean, it's too much. Yeah.
It's right there on the nose. But Twizzles feels like a good, like.
Twizzles is pretty good. I'm also beef jerky, jerk, fucking jerk. Sure.
Yeah, that's good. You're getting closer.
Jerk.
You're getting closer.
You're fucking jerk.
Hey, kids.
Jerk.
Hey, kids. Happy birthday. Here's fucking jerk. Hi, fire, kids. Hey, is that your face? Or did you get hit in the face?
Because it's all fucked up. Go get your shine box, you mutt.
Go get your shine box.
Are these the kids?
Yeah, I'm the clown.
Oh, you're
talking.
The clown.
I thought those were the kids.
Oh, no. You thought the kids were saying, "Get your shine box."
Yeah,
kids,
no, I'm
you mutt prick.
That's my. That's me as
go screw.
That's me as the clown. It's fuck you, jerk.
Hi, kids. What a shitty party. Enjoy the cake. No one lives long. Your parents don't love each other.
Can you do anything, clown? Balloon animals?
No, screw you. No, not going to happen. I'm forming a union. I want a union. I'm a shop steward. I'm not leaving until I get $800 in cash. Hey, your mother, she's pretty easy on the eyes.
No!
All right, Michael J., I'm a terrible
Conan,
person.
Your instincts are straight on, man. You're again, are correct again.
Michael J., it was nice talking to you and continue doing your good work.
Thanks, and you too.
I salute Thanks for having you, me. And I bow to you.
Hey.
Right
Take
back
care.
You.
Take care.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. With Conan O'Brien, Sonam Ovsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Cody Fisher at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering by Eduardo Perez. Additional production support by Mars Melnick. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 669-587-2847 and leave a message. It, too, could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. This has been a Team Coco production. In association with Earwolf.